WTBR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. While waiting for a bus home after school in Northeast Philadelphia, 8 students are wounded when 3 people pull up in a car and fire more than 30 shots. Philadelphia Mayor Sherelle Parker says it's the latest in a series of shootings.
Over the past 2 days, we have seen 11 juveniles shot. Over the past few days, we have seen these senseless acts of gun violence occur in and around schools.
One student has been critically injured. The 16-year-old was struck 9 times. The others are stable. A jury says the weapon supervisor is to blame for the fatal shooting of a cinematographer on the set of the Alec Baldwin film Rust in New Mexico.
I'm Peter King. It took just 2.5 hours for the jury to reach a split verdict on armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed.
The defendant, Hannah Gutierrez, guilty of involuntary manslaughter as charged.
But not guilty of evidence tampering. In her closing argument, prosecutor Carrie Morrissey said the weapon supervisor didn't know there were live rounds on set.
Through her own negligence, her own recklessness.
But defense attorney Jason Bowles called her a scapegoat for cinematographer Helena Hutchins' death.
What caused her to pass was Mr. Baldwin going off script.
Actor Alec Baldwin was holding the gun but says he never pulled the trigger. He faces his own trial in July.
After violent attacks, the National Guard is heading to the New York City subway system to search passengers' bags for weapons. Governor Kathy Hochul is deploying 750 Guard members who will help hundreds of state troopers and transit officers.
I am working in sync with the mayor of New York to protect people on the subways, the workers and the passengers. We've communicated as recently as this morning. We had a meeting last week.
A Houthi missile attack has caused the first reported death since it started striking Red Sea merchant ships. CBS's David Martin.
The Houthis launched a ballistic missile which struck a Barbados-flagged cargo ship in the Gulf of Aden, killing 3, leaving 3 more in critical condition. The first fatalities of the Houthis' war on commercial shipping come just days after the first sinking. Over the weekend, a ship called the Ruby Mar went down after being attacked by the Houthis.
Violence in Haiti prompts questions about whether the U.S. would like the Haitian prime minister to step down. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the U.S. is not pressuring him to do so.
As we know, there is a dire situation on the ground. It has made it very difficult to get that aid. And we have said this before, the U.S. government has been leading in providing aid to the Haitian people.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Wisconsin Wednesday with Labor Secretary Julie Sue talking up apprenticeship opportunities at a Madison construction site.
They are learning skills that are about engineering and technology. They are learning skills that is about complex math and science. And these are the kinds of skills that we need in a variety of jobs.
President Biden Wednesday signed an executive order that aims to create paid apprenticeships in the trades to help rebuild America's infrastructure. Most kids are doing okay after a school bus and a dump truck crashed in Waukesha Wednesday morning. Police say there were 34 kids on the bus. Some of them got some scrapes and cuts from broken glass. Only one child had to go to the hospital. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks headed to the West Coast. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks packing their bags for a long 4-game road trip. Milwaukee now doing a better job of passing the ball around to find the open shot. Bobby Portis.
Doc's been emphasizing that all since he's been here since January is you might have a good shot here, but that extra pass could just lead to a better open shot for the team. We've been making a lot of those reads actually. Like you might not get an assist, but you might get a hockey assist out of it.
College basketball, a big night for Marquette. that as they host number 2-ranked UConn in Milwaukee on senior night. The Badgers play Rutgers Thursday. Iowa's Caitlin Clark named the best player in the Big Ten. Baseball, the Brewers and the Giants had 29 combined hits, but the Giants won 13-8 over Milwaukee. Reese Hoskins got his first home run as a Brewer.
You're just hoping for the right match with the team that will show up eventually, and in my eyes, it did with the Brewers.
That's Brewers first baseman Reese Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, increasing clouds and lows close to 30. For tomorrow, partly sunny, highs warm up into the mid-50s. Maybe a shower tomorrow night, better chance of rain on Friday, high in the mid-40s, warming back up through the 40s through the weekend. It's 39 right now.
Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday night here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin. We are broadcasting state live from downtown Green Bay at WGBW. That was fun. I always like having new guests on the show. I had never met Jay Finnerty, but he was fun to talk to. And I'm kind of behind on my hoops. Conrad, are you following all the college basketball this year?
Yeah, I'm trying to make a perfect tournament bracket, but, you know, it's never going to happen. But
not with that attitude.
I think just spending time actually looking at stats and stuff could help me a little bit.
Okay. I do the bracket. I don't even know who. I just...
Whatever team's name sounds cooler.
Exactly. It's like, yeah, they used to be good. Maybe I'll vote for them.
I always used to do the Wisconsin thing. It's just like, oh, the Badgers are in this year. They're going all the way. They're winning.
Just because you want someone to cheer for. That's, exactly. That's what I do too. Yeah, exactly. Tonight's question is, do you have a film or a song that transports you back to a time in your life? We have some great texts so far. Keep those texts coming, folks. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or you can text us on the app. We are on statewide, so just click on any station, and there's a little text icon, and you can let us know. What takes you back? What film or song? Got some text here on the stream. Cartoon, Mr. Magoo. Well, that's interesting. Stacy says Mr. Magoo takes her back to childhood, I would assume. Jason says, good evening, everyone. Good evening, Jason. Christy Barlamet says, hi. She was just here. And I missed her text while she was here. Jason says, go Speed Racer. That might be an inside joke between he and Christy. But
that's a movie that reminds me of my childhood, though. Right?
Speed Racer?
Yeah.
Was it good?
When I was younger, yeah. Okay. Rewatching it? No.
Yeah.
That's why I don't watch rewatch movies that I really liked when I was younger, because they usually don't turn out as good as they were.
Yeah, it's sad when things don't hold up and you kind of want them to. I still got to read this again. Mark from Prairie du Sac in the 608. Mark from the Sack. I love that. He said three times Lady by the Commodores. Made him think of his college girlfriend, Brenda. From the 920, is this Civic Media? Yes. I guess I didn't have to read that. Mark, again, from the Sack. This is my call sign, as it were. It's interesting how some songs call us back. Other songs, other people of times and past. Some sweet, some bittersweet. That is absolutely true. And then from the 920, in 1978, I was 16. I went with my older sister and two older brothers to see the new movie Animal House at the Bay Theater in downtown Green Bay, up the street from you, now the Meyer Theater. I didn't know the Meyer Theater had a past previous to the Meyer Theater. That's interesting. All four of us never hung out together, especially with my sister, and it was the first time I was allowed to go to an R-rated movie by my parents that I didn't sneak into. Very devious texture here. Back then, there was little or no intel or ads about films before you stepped into the movie house. The place was packed and the audience laughed wildly out loud throughout. I felt like I had just learned all about college life I'd not previously known. We still talk about it to this day, and it's one of the only movies I've gone back and watched more than once. That is Patrick from the 920. Patrick, that is a great narrative, my friend. Thank you for sharing that. It's interesting. I want to get Anya Esther's take on this too when she joins the show, because Animal House, did you see it, Conrad?
Yeah.
What did you think?
It's just a great, funny movie.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's just more of comedy value to anything.
Okay. My son didn't love it. He liked it. He didn't love it. So I don't know if it's dated or if I just remember it differently. Conrad's dad chimed in from the 920. Steve says, whenever I hear a song by the Jackson 5, the Osmonds, or the Beatles, it brings back good memories with my brother and sisters back in the early 70s. Singing along to the songs with our babysitter. Oh, that's a great memory. This question is doing exactly what I wanted it to do tonight.
Definitely.
Transporting us all back. And now we have to find out if Anya Esther has a memory from a song or a movie. She's getting ready. Look at her, Conrad. Look at her in the stream. Anya, welcome.
Hi.
How are
you? Good to see you, Pete.
Good to see you, too.
I'm good. I had the exact same connection issues that I had the last couple times I've tried getting on your show. My Wi-Fi does not want to receive your signals, Pete. Mm. I don't know what that's about, but I'm Conspiracy. On mobile data from my phone. So we will make do.
That totally works. Do you have a song, Anya, or a movie that takes you back to a time in your life, makes you nostalgic?
You know, I was sitting here listening to some of these great answers. And for me, I think I have so many because I tend to find a song and really like it and then listen to it on repeat, like daily, and then burn out of it. So there's moments, there'll be like little sets of songs. And this one's so specific, but there's one example. Broadway musician Joe Icons, that's his name, put out an album, and on it somewhere is a song called The Rules to Success. And it's like a really dark, it's very bright sounding, but it's really about how all of your business partners will eventually turn their backs on you, so you may as well just commit violent crimes. I don't know why it was suggested by Spotify. And it reminds me, I can see myself walking from my sophomore year of college math class to my film classes, which were sheer across UW-Milwaukee's campus. I don't know. That's the one that immediately came to mind for me. So weirdly specific. I know.
That
but when
is
am
great.
I not weirdly specific?
No, and that's listen, the details and like in Patrick's story, going to the movie and his siblings together when they weren't ever really together and having that moment and that memory. I mean, movies and music provide background and background noise and soundtracks to our lives, and that's what's so beautiful about them. And I always tend to have like moments where there's something new in my life, whether it's I went to high school or college or moved to LA, moved back to Wisconsin, what songs were on the radio then. And it's just, it's so great when those songs come on and they can just take us back to those moments. I just love that. That's a great answer though.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you. And I'm happy to finally say, I've seen a movie since I saw you last.
Yes. I knew you had it in you.
I could do it. I can watch movies.
What did you see?
Well, you know, I'm here to talk about seeing U2. I got my Octoon Baby U2 shirt on that we picked up in Vegas. But we also, so we went to the Sphere to see U2, but I also dragged my partner to see the Darren Aronofsky film that he created for the Sphere. So I've seen a concert there, which used a lot of visual effects on the Sphere. And I've also seen now the film on the Sphere that uses non-film effects. Pete, I'll leave it up to you. What do you want to hear about first? Choose your own adventure.
Okay, let's go. Because I have a U2 story too. Let's go with the film first. Yes. And then we'll do the concert.
Perfect. So the film is called Postcard from Earth. It's made by Darren Aronofsky. You may know him of Black Swan is the one that always comes to mind for me, but I know he's done something more recent. Did he do He didn't do Babylon, did he? I can't think of it.
Let me Google him because I know his name. I just can't. I'm not.
Yeah. I'll preface this by saying that because of some interesting directorial decisions he made on the set of Black Swan, I am not the biggest Darren Aronofsky fan.
Okay.
With that in mind, the film Postcard from Earth, it's 50 minutes. It is a narrative, but it utilizes a lot of documentary style footage. Story in brief is essentially two humans from Earth. They got to go bring life to otherwise dead planets because, oops, we kind of killed Earth with all the polluting and stuff. But there's this postcard, a postcard from Earth. And it's all these wonderful images of life on Earth. It's nature, microscopic things made to be, of course, the size of this huge, huge dome that you're viewing it on. At one point, there's a praying mantis you see at about 40 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
And while the narrative elements and they did some animation to make the narrative parts make sense, you know, they got to get a spaceship and fly off of Earth. Those parts are weaker, in my opinion.
Okay.
But the documentary footage, Pete, I was really hoping the whole film would be this. There's a point where an elephant walks up to the dome, and I really truly understand now what those French people felt when they saw that film of the train coming into the station, and they were like, Sacre bleu, it's going to run us over. I always thought, you know, I want to experience movie magic like that. I want to be afraid for my life in a, you know, watching a movie like, oh my goodness. And I really, really, really was watching the documentary footage of Postcard from Earth. Those parts were movie magic. Incredible.
So the film was to go like to be hand in hand kind of with the concert. And it's a commentary on life on Earth.
Yes. Not to go hand in hand with the concert. You have to remember the Sphere is its own independent venue. Think of it just like any other venue that can host both a movie showing and a concert. The movie was, however, made for the Sphere. It is in 18K, 1.8K resolution. Like I said, it's 50 minutes long. It's a narrative, but it utilizes documentary footage. There is nowhere else on Earth that you can view this film, and it is the only screen on Earth made for this film. I imagine it might be like, I don't think I was alive when IMAX was invented, or I was young enough, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
But imagine there being only one IMAX theater on Earth, or one planetarium-style theater on Earth. That is this with the Sphere, because the Sphere goes beyond what any of these other planetariums or theaters are doing. It's really a custom, bespoke experience. And it costs a custom bespoke price. I will say that it was about the cost of seeing a concert, this 50-minute film. Popcorn price hits you in the knees, too. But as a film person, it was worth it for me.
Wow, that is, A, that's a phenomenal review.
There you go.
And B, you sound like you have your memory right there. You're nostalgic for what you just experienced. That's so great.
You know, I actually am. Yeah, I miss Vegas a little bit. It's a little cold here now.
Yeah. I want to hear more about Vegas, and we'll pick it up with you, too. That's coming up next with Anya Esther, and I read more of your texts. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Gabby.
Hey, Gabby. It's Jennifer Coolidge. Hi. I'm so glad I reached you at 2 a.m.
Oh, of course. Anyone with a Discover card can call and talk to a real person 24/7. Now, how can I help?
Yeah, I used my Discover card to buy these yellow pleather pajamas, and I'm just not sure I'm pulling them off.
24/7 U.S.-based customer service. It pays to Discover. Limitations apply. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard.
To everyone who needs a little delight in their day, let our team member Paul tell you about one of our favorite sweet treats.
Making special moments at mealtime is a tradition in Wisconsin. And what better way to sweeten your day than a Culver's creamy, fresh frozen custard and your favorite mix-ins? We handcraft every concrete mixer exactly the way you like. From caramel to your favorite candies like Butterfinger.
Come to Culver's and let us make your day a little bit sweeter.
From Wisconsin with love,
welcome to Delicious.
Culver's, 8th Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back. Got a few more texts here about our question tonight, which it is still, you still have time to get in on the fun. Do you have a film or song that transports you back to a time in your life? And just really fun answers tonight. This is Andrew from the 630. Andrew from Verona says, song is Journey's Don't Stop Believin'. Movie, Big Lebowski, mostly brings back memories of my college roommates. We'd drink all night and either end the night singing to Journey or passed out on the couch watching Lebowski. I bet a lot of people have that memory. That's a great text, Andrew. Thank you. From the 262. I was at U2's last show, Anya. This one is for you. I was at U2's last show at the Sphere. It was fantastic. The band sounded great, and the Sphere is a marvel of lights, sound, and rumble seats. Also, there were several celebrities in attendance. Dave Grohl, Chris Martin, Adele, Jill Biden, and my favorite, Neil Finn, who did a long-distance collaboration from New Zealand with the band on Don't Dream It's Over. That's from John in Milwaukee. Boy, these texts are phenomenal tonight. And I got one more here, also from John in Milwaukee. I was, it's just a repeat.
It's the same, I think.
Yeah, that is, all right. So was that your experience, Anya?
Well, actually, I have to say that last text was so much my experience that I feel as though I was seated next to Mr. John from Milwaukee.
What are the odds of that?
Surely there's no way. But he is right. He stole my thunder a little bit.
Uh-oh.
But he is right. There were an incredible number of celebrities. Adele was there. Of course, she's wrapping up her residency, I believe. Oh, don't quote me. I think she's at the Venetian or Caesars. No, Caesars. That's where she's at.
Oh, she does had a Weekends contract with Adele.
She does.
Oh,
she does.
Wow. Okay.
Weekends with Adele. That's what it's called. She just comes in a Friday through Sunday. And of course, their last show was a Saturday night.
Oh,
so
wow.
She popped by.
Nice.
And Chris Martin was there on his birthday. Dave Grohl was there. I think Dave was actually in the suite seats right below where we were. So I was proximate, just above him, maybe.
Wow.
And yeah, Jill Biden was there. So an incredible group of folks. And of course me just in the mix.
That is so great. Did they do Streets Have No Name? I'm assuming they did.
Yes. Yes, they did. It took me a second to remember. Yes. And I'm so glad that they did. I've been learning a lot about you two, and I want to hear what show you went to and what your experience was. Of course, my partner, John, is a huge U2 fan and had me watch. We chose to watch together the footage of the Zoo TV tour. And of course, there's a lot of references to that. And through that, I learned about U2's time in South America and what Streets Have No Name is about. And the woman seated next to us, she didn't speak a lot of English, but she knew every U2 lyric.
Oh,
and
nice.
When they performed The Streets Have No Name, which, you know, I don't quote me again, but it's somewhat about their time in these places where, of course, the streets don't have names. They're just roads that you know.
Right.
She was, I mean, real, and I mean this with love, not in like, oh my gosh, she was screaming these lyrics and gesturing to Bono. It was just her and him in there, really.
Oh my
and
gosh.
I have chills talking about it. It really was the most amazing experience.
That is really cool. So my story is, and I feel like I just told this recently, so I'll give you the abbreviated version, but a friend of mine came to my dorm room when I was a student at DePaul University. He says, hey, we got an extra ticket tonight for the concert. I go, what are you going to see? U2. This is the Joshua Tree album. I knew U2.
Nice.
I liked them, but I wasn't like, you know, insane about them, but he talked me into it. $20 was the ticket. So,
oh man,
I go to see them at the Rosemont Horizon in Chicago, and it was phenomenal because the song Pride in the Name of Love is about Martin Luther King. And when they play it live, it is like spiritual. It is so cool. And I came back just as the song was starting, and there was this old black usher. He was jamming and dancing, and I ended up high-fiving him, and he gave me a big hug. He was just, was the same thing. Like, it was just him and you two. But that ended up being one of the most fun nights of my life because I had so much fun with my friends, and the Bodines opened for them.
Nice.
And I had never heard of the Bodines.
Waukesha band?
Yeah, they had just won the Artist of the Year from Rolling Stone magazine, I think, and they're opening for you too. So I got to introduce to a band who I later got to know, the Bodines, and love them. And U2 is just, they're just U2. And they were a spectacle even back then. But the Sphere, I can't even imagine what you saw. They're a show.
I have some footage and some photos I'm happy to share. Of course, over radio, I'll try to describe it.
Yeah.
The only words that make sense is, as soon as that Sphere turns on, you cease to know where that wall was anymore. You could be floating in space with flashing text. Of course, they did a great homage to their use of TV screens during the Zoo TV tour. And there's points where on the Sphere where text that seemed like a wall that was flat up against you will suddenly rush in towards your face. And again, like the elephant, like some of these other images in Darren Aronofsky's film, we were kind of sitting there gripping our seats like, whoa, they gave Bono the ability to hit back now. What's happening?
Oh, wow.
At one point, a wall of code begins to crawl up the Sphere, and you're watching it go up, and it simply does not stop. I can't think of what song has reference to Jacob's Ladder in it, but it was a great deal like you're just looking up, and truly, they have exited the Sphere somehow. This wall of code is rising up to space. And at one point, the Sphere disappears, and we see the Las Vegas skyline as it would be, as though the Sphere were transparent. And then they proceed to demolish the strip in front of you, leaving only the desert as it was thousands of years ago.
Oh, my God.
You got to get out there, man. It's crazy. And the next band is the Grateful Dead. Our own Dr. Johnny Lupinacci of Busted Pencils has tickets. I'm very jealous. I cannot imagine what he's going to see. I wish there was a way to keep experiencing the U2 show, even though it's over, because it was just, oh my gosh, it's so good. I hope they release it in VR or something like this, because seeing is believing, man. And
that
it was
cool.
Magic.
Well, we did recently our favorite Super Bowl halftime show. They did the Super Bowl halftime show, I think in 2001 or 2002. And it was just, Streets Have No Name to me is like one of my favorite all time songs. And it's just, they're so much fun. Can I ask you how much the tickets were?
So I'll say it with this caveat. My partner is a longtime member of U2's fan club. And because of that, he was rewarded with first dibs at tickets. We did, before taxes, pay about $500 a seat.
Wow.
And I'll let you know. So we saw them Saturday. I also looked into getting tickets for Friday. I thought maybe some rush tickets. No way. General admission somewhere between 1 and 2,000 the week of. And those suites I talked about that Adele and Dave Grohl were in start at $50,000. But you and your closest 27 friends can enjoy the Sphere with a partially blocked view of the screen. It's not worth it, guys. But our tickets were. Our tickets were.
Hey, can you hang for just a couple more minutes after the break?
I'd love to.
Oh, yes. You're the best. This is working out so well because of what our question is tonight. So this is just perfect. So thank you. We'll be right back with more Anya Esther. Jorge Reyna coming up later to talk about Mad Unity, which takes place right after this show. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Just another night, another vision of love. You feel joy, you feel pain, cause nothing will be the same. Just another night is all that it takes to understand the difference between lovers and fakes. So baby, I talk. You're listening to locally grown radio WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
CBS News Brief. Eight teenagers are shot, one critically, while waiting for a bus after school in Northeast Philadelphia. It was a drive-by, and the three gunmen wore masks. Mayor Sherelle Parker.
We want no one in the city of Philadelphia concerned about whether or not they can come out and go to the store, go to the supermarket. We don't want you feeling captive in your homes.
A New Mexico jury finds Rust movie armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed guilty of involuntary manslaughter, but not guilty of evidence tampering in the 2021 death of a cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. Elise Preston outside the courthouse.
When this verdict came, the jury only deliberated for about 2.5 hours, and I think everyone around was pretty much shocked that they came back so quickly.
On Capitol Hill, House lawmakers passed